ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good afternoon, or morning, I guess it is. Feels like afternoon after that long drive in because of the snow. Good morning, Thursday morning. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We got all kinds of different topics, but maybe the most intriguing one coming up. We haven't done this in a while, but in the last segment, what's on Jared's mind?
Oh.
It's been a while since we went down those crazy streets inside crazy. Jared's mind.
You use crazy in Jared's mind in one
there
sentence.
There you go.
Thank you, friend.
We'll be figure out what's on Jared's mind in the world of sports at the end of the show. Hit the signing days yesterday, the second signing day. A little bit more noise made in-state, at least, for Oklahoma. Obviously, the circumstances were such that that was a possibility because of the coaching change made right before the first signing day. So Oklahoma had a pretty good day, one of the better days of anybody yesterday. Let's talk about that. A local guy signed officially yesterday. We'll hit that. Stay in the college football world. Did you see the article that Mac Engle wrote for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram?
Is this the guy, his opinion article, his opinion piece about how OU's going to be the next
Nebraska? That's correct. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that's funny.
Jimbo Fisher, he had some pointed comments that I've got the video pulled up. We'll play about the NIL and the accusations being thrust upon the Aggies by lots of different people. And then also, what are we looking forward to in the 2023 class? I think nationally, it's obvious there's one name that everybody wants to watch and see what happens with the recruiting of one Arch Manning. Now, this morning, there's another guy.
Don't ask Peyton. He's just wound up with Emily in Paris right now. He has no idea.
Yeah, he's not giving much Uncle Lee advice right now. Now, this morning, another guy that I think a lot of OU fans are going to be paying total attention to in the 2023 class is now not in the 2023 class. He is reclassified to 2022, Lebbeus Overton. The reason that name rings a bell because his dad was an offensive lineman right here at Oklahoma, and they did make the top five. It seems like at the moment they're a little bit on the outside looking in, but does the hire of Brent Venables help that out? So that's something to look forward to. Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, what they're going to be doing recruiting-wise in 2023. Obviously, the weather is probably the biggest story in the area today. We'll hit that. Thunder, what are they doing? They won again without Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah. As Shea goes down, all of a sudden they're good. That's not a good sign.
Two straight wins after a seven-game losing streak, and I think they had lost like 14 of their last 16 when Shea goes out. Normally, that's a sign of losing. I've got those numbers as well. But Oklahoma City wins last night. Oklahoma State falls, and then I mentioned this on Monday, and we never got to, or maybe Tuesday. How do we fix college hoops? Do you have any suggestions to fix college basketball and just make it more watchable? Because right now, it almost doesn't even matter. Outside of maybe Auburn or Gonzaga, if you don't root for like a couple of those teams, the games are boring, man. And it's like everybody's shots broke. And I know it's not that way because when they get into the league, a lot of these guys that we kind of go, you kind of open your eyes, go, wait a minute, that guy can make shots? I don't remember that in college.
Yeah.
So how do we fix it? 225-9698 is the phone or the text line, 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, and there's all kinds of other stuff that can be on your mind, so feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of different ways. Log on to kadsam.com. Live stream the show that way, or you can download the app. Paragon Communications app has all kinds of goodies. It's got three radio stations. It's got the Penny News, brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website a couple days ago online, thepennynews.com. It's out everywhere in print edition. The good news is the weather held off long enough, I think, for the most part, the Penny News got distributed in most locations yesterday.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to pick up a free copy of the Penny News coming up today, or even if it's not today, you got a week to do that. Big Oak TV, Paragon TV, we're probably on the edge of our seats to see what happens with the weather the rest of the day and where that leads tomorrow. Probably tomorrow morning into the afternoon, we'll have more of an update as far as what's still going on the Friday night games. And, of course, Skinny on Sports podcast. By the way, thanks a bunch of you guys, because that thing is being listened to a ton each and every month. So the Skinny on Sports podcast, KADSAM.com or iTunes. You can find it there if you missed the show entirely, or even if you missed part of the show. I know that's something that people say, man, well, I got in on the last half. When's that podcast going to be up so I can hear what you guys started out the show with on certain days? So thank you guys for listening to that. It's great, great work. And
yeah, and if I don't get it up, then I get a ton of text messages.
Ooh, easy.
Please be careful. Please
slow down.
Please be. come on, let's keep it clean. It's not. It's 9:10. That's where you go. That's immediately where you go. Come on, man.
I think you got a lot. I think you got a lot worse problems if you don't get it up.
I have no problem there.
Than Dakota worrying about the podcast being
now
on the
we're
air.
Losing subscribers if we're going to talk about this.
Oh, heavens.
Good night, Aaron. Jeez.
Okay, anyhow. So how was your commute into work today?
It wasn't horrible. I didn't take the interstate just because I'm kind of a wuss and I didn't want to deal with it. But I just took the side roads and put it in 4x4 and took my time. And that's the name of the game today. Just give yourself extra time and take your time. You'll be okay. There's snow and blowing snow. Visibility wasn't bad. I didn't notice a lot of slick spots. I think it's more of a dry snow, and you're not going to see that unless you go over some packed up drifts and stuff like that. Wasn't horrible. How about you?
Yeah, interstate was pretty clear. I mean, it was all kind of blowing off of there on the south lane of the eastbound traffic. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was fine. Now getting into town was a little bit different. Had to slow her down.
Yeah.
You know, on the side roads or whatever.
I mean, I worry about you in that little car.
It's awesome.
It takes it well?
Oh. Front wheel drive, no worries,
okay.
Buddy. It's like a little tank.
I like it.
It's like a little tank rolling around. The old Fusion.
I like it.
It just kind of, it's a boss on stuff like this.
Well, good.
It really is.
That's what one thing I was thinking about. Man, I hope Aaron gets in time.
The only bad thing is it's built kind of low to the ground, so if it starts drifting up, mm-hmm. then it could be some problems. But as far as just traversing across the landscape and the countryside, oh, no.
You're good.
It's good.
Okay.
It's very good.
Good.
Man, Thunder last night. Almost blow a lead at the end, but then get a bucket, send it overtime. Lou Dort scores 14 of his 30 in overtime. And Oklahoma City beats Dallas. What was it, 114-111? Oh, gosh. I had that pulled up. No, 120-114, I'm sorry. It's Oklahoma City's second straight win. You know, it doesn't do any good to come in, and I guarantee you, at 2 o'clock, Jim's going to be upset that Oklahoma City won this game. But you can't lose them all. I mean, that's
I think percentageally you're going to win one anyway.
Every
right?
now and then.
Every now and then you're going to get a win.
You look up, they're 3-7 over the last 10. So, it's these two just happen to come back-to-back. And they've got 16 wins, which is fourth worst in the league. One ahead of Houston, and then the two teams in the East that were way back have kind of picked it up with Detroit and Orlando, both with 12 wins. So that's not out of the realm of possibility that the Thunder can still end up with the worst record in the league. And you would think SGA going out, and history tells you that SGA going out is a great thing for the loss column for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Going into a couple nights ago, OKC was 6-36 in the last two seasons when Shai Gilgeous-Alexander didn't play. Now, all of a sudden, these last two, they've won them both since he rolled his ankle. So I think this is just maybe kind of regressing to the mean a little bit. But I wouldn't get way excited about the Thunder's chances. I mean, you look up, and let's say they're 5 back of Portland in the win column of that 10th spot. That's not a realistic option. And it's not something that I even think they're going to try to get to. But I think it just every time they win some of these games like this without their star player, I think it points a little bit back to the culture that's created there.
Mm-hmm.
and the way that there's just guys, yep. And maybe this, maybe in a way this bodes well for the future when they do kind of decide, okay, we've got our core. Maybe these guys around them, around that core, are more prepared to be on good teams than we think.
Yeah.
Just because we get to see them every night.
Yeah. Another part of it is the culture thing I'm a big believer in. And then sometimes we see this at lower levels of basketball, but I think it happens even at the highest level. Your opponent plays down to the competition. Yeah. You know, like, oh, they're coming in here. No SGA. It's on our home floor. Dallas just kind of let their guard down a little bit. And then that winning culture for Oklahoma City, you know, kind of carried them right there. And then when you got someone like Lou Dort doing what he did last night, especially in overtime, that definitely helps. But listen, I get it. You want them to lose. You want them to get them that top five realm, top four.
Really three, top three.
Top three.
With the draft this year, when you look at the guys that everybody wants, right now at least, it's Jabari Smith, which Oklahoma fans, you saw him on Saturday.
Yeah.
Down there at Auburn. That dude is a monster. Chet Holmgren, which, you know, it's kind of fascinating to me. And maybe this just goes to, it speaks to the lack of college basketball that I've watched, which we'll get into here in just a second. But coming out of college, coming out of high school, I mean, he was the monster recruit, right? You really hadn't heard a ton about him. You know, it just
the kid from
Gonzaga.
Gonzaga,
yeah. You hadn't heard a ton about Chet
Not
Holmgren.
Really. Gonzaga's
like you thought you might. And Gonzaga's right up there in the top five and all that.
But something looked at going into the college basketball season is it was going to be Gonzaga and everybody else because they got this kid.
Right.
And they, I guess, more or less disappointed, but here they are still top five team.
Oh, well, what have they lost, twice?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not many.
No. But
that'll yeah. build when we get to the tournament.
Right.
And that'll be the spotlight for him because everyone figures Gonzaga will make a run. And then, of course, Paolo Banchero from Duke. Those are the three guys that, at least right now, before the process really starts, you're already hearing that, well, it's a three-team draft. You got to get in the top three. What did we hear last year? It's a four or five guy draft, depending on if you like Scotty Barnes or Kuminga, but you got to be in the top five. Then the Thunder were sixth. You're like, oh no, they missed out on all the five guys. This sucks. Well, they've had Josh Giddey. Well, what has Josh Giddey done? All he's been is the Western Conference Rookie of the Year every time they've handed out the award. And so, listen, I totally understand the thought process of you have to be in the top three. You have to get one of these quote unquote franchise changing guys. And that there's no doubt that when you look through the history of the league, there's a lot of truth to that. But it also doesn't mean that you can't find quality guys. I've still got a list written down in there from like the 2003 draft to Shea's draft, just because after that, those guys haven't really had a chance to, you know, there's not a big enough sample size, right, to
yeah.
determine exactly where some of those from 10 down. It's from 10 down, not even 6 down, from 10 down. You'd be shocked at the names on that list. Shocked. I mean,
isn't that the way it is, though, all the time?
You just have to make the right pick.
Right.
And it's I get it, the thought of it being easier the closer you are to number one. But then you look through there, how many times have people screwed up the number one pick?
Oh, yeah.
A ton of times. So it's as much as that helps, and Presti has obviously had as good a track record as anybody in not doing that in the top five. And that yeah. that kind of excites you of what's out there this year, especially with when you think of need, of what the Thunder need. You know, a bigger dude would sure be helpful.
Oh, yeah.
So JRE isn't your center. You know, I mean, that's definitely exciting. And I think that when you look at this year versus last year in the quote-unquote tank, Oklahoma City has done a way better job this year early to not have to lose 24 of 25 to end the season and yeah. still get to where they want to be.
Yeah. No, I think they're going to be fine. They're going to win these every once in a while. It's nice to, you know, beat a Mark Cuban team. I like that any day.
Yeah, if you're going to win one, you know, beating Dallas or beating the Spurs.
Yeah, knock them, you know.
One of those teams.
Don't help the guys you're battling. No, don't go beating Houston.
No, you don't want to beat Houston. You don't want to beat Detroit or Orlando.
No.
You wanted those teams to win.
Beat those teams that have some playoff aspirations. Just kind of, you know, be a thorn in their side.
You know who you really want to beat? Every chance you get to play them.
Brooklyn?
If you're going to win a game.
Who's that?
The Clippers.
Oh, of course.
Because
Oklahoma City has the Clippers pick. You're right.
So even hurting yourself, you're still helping yourself
if
you can knock off the Clippers anytime you play them.
I like that.
All right, last night Oklahoma State falls 71-68 at Kansas State. That's now their fourth straight loss, 6 out of 8. You know, that Baylor win on the road at Baylor is looking more and more kind of like one of those what-in-the-world
results. Yeah.
Really crazy. But they lose 71-68, sets up Bedlam and Stillwater at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. You know, you see, it feels like in the Big 12, this type of score is almost every game every night. And even, you know, something in the 60s to something in the 60s, low 70s maybe, and there's more 50s in there than you'd like to admit. And it just makes the basketball so much harder to watch. I mean, who didn't enjoy a good Kelvin Eddy Bedlam in the early 2000s every now and then? But it feels like that's that you get that game across the entire league every single night.
Yeah, I know the question is why or who's watching college basketball and why. I think the people that are watching college basketball are the fans of that team. You know, the only basketball, college basketball I've watched is OU and OSU. You know, I'm not watching Duke play on a Monday night against Virginia. I'm not doing it. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, and then the second question we're going to talk about it is how do we fix it? How do we make it where we want to watch the Duke North Carolina game? You know, remember that was marquee. That
was you didn't miss it.
Set down and turn it on and don't turn it off. I couldn't even have they played yet. I don't know. And it's nothing I'm sitting down to watch. So how do you fix it?
You know, and to that point, I was going to bring up one from Saturday. Think about in years past if you got Kentucky at Kansas.
Yeah.
Now, I wasn't on the air because the Elk City games were in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But it never even crossed my mind on Saturday night to flip on the TV and watch Kentucky and Kansas.
No.
I mean, it doesn't get much more elite in that sport than that maybe Carolina Duke.
I was at that benefit over at Friends, and, you know, they have TVs on a sporting event. You know, years past, like, hey, why don't they have the Kentucky-Kansas game on? They had some kind of all-star college football game on from the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm. And nobody cared, though.
You
didn't care enough to say, hey, change it.
I was there for a bigger purpose, you know, but I was not – it never crossed my mind that they're playing until I saw the final score and go, whoa, wow.
Yeah, only Hunt watched
and that's
that
when I
game.
Sent that text out. I said, man, Big 12 is horrible basketball. And then I got blasted like, oh, who's watching basketball? Well, I just saw the score. Relax. But, yeah, I mean, that's – so how do we fix it?
I think it's just happened this way as time has gone along. But to me, you think back to the great – height of college basketball. It was 80s and filtering into the 90s. Mm-hmm. And you know what people remember about that period of college basketball? The players.
The Christian Leitners.
They remember the players.
Yeah.
Now, if you say, okay, so-and-so, what do you know about Duke? Krzyzewski. What do you know about Kansas? Self. It's not Danny Manning and the Miracles. It's the coach. Mm-hmm. And the coaches have so much power over the game itself, that night's game, that they don't let their guys kind of do stuff. I mean, it's almost like a microcosm of a parenting right now. They're so in control of the game, you know what I'm saying? They don't even allow them to make mistakes and learn from it.
Right.
You know, I think that's a big part of it, which isn't changing. There's nothing you can do unless the coaches themselves – kind of take a step back and go, golly, I'm like choking my team down here and not giving them freedom to go. And I think to me that's why you see in the style of the game changes that way, because what is your natural inclination if you don't trust your guys? Slow down. Take your time. Be patient. You know, it's like Gene Hackman's coaching everybody from Hoosiers. 5 passes. Gotta pass it. You know, and there's no you know, the flow, and everybody's getting bigger and stronger and faster, and there's more contact, and the everything's more clogged up. It's a lot like, you know, it blows my mind, even on the high school level, to watch the games I watch and see how small the court feels because there's not as much space. And then I'll flip it on to Paragon TV. Like that, I mean, it was just like, whoa, like blew my mind. The other night, I guess it was last Friday night, Blanchard and Elk City were playing. Mm-hmm. It got to be halftime of the girls' game. You know, and it was like teens to teens, like low teens. And I flipped it over and watching Merritt and Hammond. And it was like they were playing on a different court. There was so much more space that they were using. And part of that's, you know, there's a lot of different things that go in there. But it just, and everybody was free to move around. You weren't getting bumped on every drive. You know, and yeah. It's just a totally different game. And I think that a lot of times in the college basketball, I mean, think that the TCU-OU game down in Fort Worth, it was like a fist fight, much less a basketball. And I think it's been allowed to get so physical down in the paint, and there's not as much space. It's just hard to see the beauty of basketball happen with ball movement and player movement because everybody's just kind of running into each other all the time.
Yeah. You know, and again, on the same conversation of how to fix it, now the style of play, that's what you addressed. What about the type of, like, everybody, I keep hearing bad things. We've heard it for years. The one and done has got to be eliminated somehow. But what's your answer to that? What's your solution to that? Should it? Shouldn't it?
I mean,
just let them go straight out of high school?
I think so.
My answer is, and I've been saying it for a few years, and I finally heard some smarter people than me kind of suggest it too, so it made me feel smart, which isn't very often. The baseball rule.
Yeah, three is going to be hard to...
I know.
I was going to say two.
Maybe adjust it then.
Yeah.
Sure. But, you know, you get a kid to commit to the school and to develop at that school to become a better player for the NBA. When he can realize, and it's a maturity thing too, go, I'm not ready to go straight out of high school to the NBA. I need more time. So, something like that.
But
for
also,
those who don't know, the baseball rule is if you can get drafted out of high school and go straight to Major League Baseball, or that organization, that is. And then, but if, even if you're drafted, you don't have to sign. You can go to a school. But if you do that route, you have to stay there for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the rule. Now, that is a little extreme for basketball because the shelf life for a basketball player is shorter than, say, for a baseball player for the chances to make it big in the NBA. But, yeah, adjust it. Something to that effect.
Yeah, I think it too. But the problem is it's got to be worked through on two different levels, the college level and then the professional level as well, to get that into the and not, quite honestly, the G League is turning into a spot where teams are actually starting to kind of use that even before guys are drafted. It's not just like their farm club after they draft them. Heck, it's being used in spots for like a quick look at a guy that's coming into the draft and what he looks like on that professional level at the age of 18 or 19, you know, and that's fine. I think that if you're going to give them the chance, it's those guys. Some of those guys, I mean, look at some of the best players of this generation never went to college.
No, yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of guys that wish they would have, but that's their choice. They think they can make it. They either do or they don't. Sink or swim, if you want to go that route. But you also need to give some stability to the colleges to know that they're going to have these guys around.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think the reason, like Dakota says, I can't wait to every year I watch the football playoffs, the Super Bowl happens, then it's, you know, a month until March Madness, and then I want to see a Loyola Chicago type team. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? You know what the secret sauce they have every time? Those guys have been playing college basketball for 4 years together.
Right, they've been together for so long.
Yeah, and that I think part of the reason why you see the choppiness of offense and all that is the contact, but it's also the fact that these guys, there's no chemistry there. There's no on-floor chemistry of playing with each other. One of the reasons why it feels like Kentucky is a different, better team than they have been over the past few years, because some guys have actually been there a little bit. It's not just five freshmen, you know, and it feels like they have a little bit more consistent flow to what they're doing. And so,
is two years
enough? I don't know. But I don't think you can ever get three. That's the thing. No, I think you take two and you move on.
I wonder if that's a big reason why Castiglione hired Porter Mosier. So this is a guy that can keep guys on campus longer than most. But listen, if a guy is like a Trae Young, and you know he's going to be a one and done, you got to hop on that, right?
That's the interesting
at the risk of messing with chemistry.
That's the interesting thing to me is, do you? You know, it feels like Texas has been that place that just look at in the NBA, the amount of big men that you go like, man, I kind of like that guy. Man, I kind of like that
always
guy.
Always from Texas.
They're always from Texas.
Yeah. But what has Texas done in March?
They've done nothing.
Yeah.
Now they have made the coaching change to Beard. Beard hasn't done that. I can't wait to see what his philosophy is. Does he take the Tech model down to Texas and have just a little bit better players, but not the, you know, Durant's or Aldridge's and that kind of group? Or does he take that bite at that forbidden fruit of the high-level high school guy that it's only going to be there for a year?
Yeah, that's
And are there certain guys that fit into the rest of them? You know, there might be where it works out perfectly, but that doesn't seem to be the case very often.
No.
So you either kind of go one way or the other. And I understand if you're OU or if you're OSU and you've got – Trae Young in state, or you got Blake Griffin in state.
You have to take them.
But at the same time, I think in the back of their minds, you've got to be going, ooh.
Yeah.
Because
it's like, man, we've built something for the past 3-4 years.
We got
a good group of guys here, and then you bring in this guy. All of a sudden, he takes a starting spot. It causes a rift in the locker room.
And you end up with Cam McGusty leading Miami.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he could still be in Norman.
Yeah. Hey, good news for our man Dakota on the text line. Now with his Chiefs out of the playoffs, he'll have more time to watch some college basketball.
Ouch. Man, that was not Aaron. That was Jared. I've been treading lightly, like on eggshells.
I've given it a few days for it to heal for him. I've given it a few days.
I was glad to see him text in yesterday. I was glad to see him texting yesterday, make sure he's still with us. Yesterday's second signing day used to be the day. I mean, it still baffles my mind how much different that first Wednesday in February is over the last couple of days because of how the calendars changed with the early signing day. You know, it was the day. I mean, you woke up at like 6 a.m. and
yeah,
to see, okay, what about the fax machines? Are they cranking? And then, of course, one of the best things about social media is that you didn't have to search and looking for a list. They just kind of sent it out themselves, right? The schools and mm-hmm. You know, okay, so and so is in. This is great.
And I always went back and watched, you know, back in the Stoops era before the early signing day was, you know, his presser.
Oh yeah,
he'd talk about each guy.
Oh, 100%. And those still kind of happen on both days, but it's not near as big a deal because you're not talking about everybody because it's split up. But for Oklahoma specifically, you know, OSU's signing day has been super quiet. And most of the time, that's a great sign because you got the guys you thought you were going to get. They snuck another one in yesterday with the receiver down there from the Metroplex area. Everything went fantastic. OSU 29th in the 247 composite team rankings, which takes everybody's rankings, puts them together, and that's what it spits out. Six four-stars. You know, Shetron was – Talon Shetron, probably the headliner of the class, the wide receiver from Edmond Santa Fe. And if it's not him, it's Braylon Presley from Bixby, younger brother of Brendan Presley, who's been on campus. So those guys, they did a good job in state. There's no doubt about that. Now, Oklahoma, on the other hand, theirs was a little bit different because of the way the timing of Riley leaving, Venables coming in, you know, a couple of weeks before the early signing period, how some guys went elsewhere. And so then, you know, the scramble began of trying to solidify a couple of guys that had been committed to stay committed or flip back or what have you, and then start gathering other guys and recruiting guys that hadn't made their decision yet. And I think if you're looking at it from an outside looking in, the doomsday scenario that was in front of Oklahoma on that Sunday after Thanksgiving when Lincoln Riley left to now, I don't think you could be any more pleased as an Oklahoma fan than you are right now with the way Venables was able to come in. Bob Stoops should get a ton of credit for this as well in that time where he was the interim coach. But to hold everything together and then not only hold together but start building on top back with some guys that signed yesterday that you got to flip from certain other schools to re-solidify some different areas in your class that you had lost some guys out of when Lincoln Riley left. I think if you're an OU fan, you've got to be ecstatic with what happened from the end of November till now.
Great text sent to us. OU loses 98% of its coaching staff, their top two committed recruits, and still signs a higher-ranked class than the previous 2 years. Some would say, well, that's because Lincoln Riley worked on those guys and got them committed, but I think it speaks volumes that those guys did decommit. Maybe they did at a time to kind of reevaluate, but then they recommitted to OU because of the hire of, well, because of Stoops kind of, you know, being the glue, the temporary glue until Venables came in and brought in his staff to re-recruit these guys and to get them. So kudos to everybody from top all the way down to whoever to come back in. And, yeah, for the longest time it was projected at obviously a solid number 10. I think I've seen some as high as 8.
Yeah, 247, 8.
Eight
in the composite
rankings.
Yeah, ESPN
rankings. Put them up to 9 when they were 10 at the beginning of the day. So, I mean, that's a heck of a job, and – I think also, if there was a guy that the Riley staff had was working on that Venables felt like he didn't want, then he probably would have went and told him, said, listen, you're going to be better off if you open up your recruitment because you're not going to fit into what I want to do. And it didn't – I mean, there may have been a couple guys, and I don't have a notepad full of players who stayed and who didn't – you know what I mean? But – he felt like those guys that were still being recruited, like they're going to work here. They're going to work with Levy. They're going to work with me on the defensive side. And that's, I thought that just speaks volumes as to, you know, what kind of a coaching staff that we got was able to keep that class together. And now the question is, I mean, that he comes in, he gets the number 8 recruiting class. I mean, can he expand on that? Can he get any better?
Here's what I don't think people
will. Or would this be his best class? but that's not a knock on Venables to say, okay, you've set the bar too high early, but he doesn't care about that. He's looking for guys that's going to work into his system, right? 3-star, if that's the guy, he's going to go get him.
I think it's interesting to see the mix that's going to happen when, because quite honestly, some of these guys that signed, especially in that early signing period, were committed to Oklahoma through Lincoln Riley.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys signed with, golly, was that official? Like the Monday before the early signing day? Is that right? I mean, it was right in there. I mean, yeah. It wasn't like they had a chance to. I mean, Stoops was the one that kept them in the boat. It wasn't Venables, right? I mean, you got to give that.
Oh, kinda, Stoops, absolutely.
The early signing period credit has to go to Bob Stoops.
I think anybody.
After that, these guys that signed yesterday, that's more Venables and his guys getting in there. You know, obviously, we followed what the recruitment of Jaron Kanick from up in Kansas. And Venables talked about him specifically yesterday.
That was interesting.
And telling him, hey, Clemson is still the place, a great place and a place you need to go to. And he was like, no. I'll walk on there. I want to play for you. And eventually Dabo saw the writing on the wall and kind of gave his blessing. You know, okay, that's fine. You can, hey, Brent, you can take him. He's not coming here. And if he did, he wouldn't be in it.
Yeah.
You know, his heart's with you, which I know.
That's very interesting.
Well, I mean, what is the knock on a bunch of these guys that OU fans have that have decommitted and went west?
They commit to the coach.
That's right, and not the school.
School.
And
so well, this is exactly what
that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
That's right. Whereas a guy like Kobe McKenzie was the first recruit in this class committed 2.5 years ago. He wavered at the time that Riley left for like a day or two, even flipped to Texas. But then he got to meet and talk with Venables, and he came right back home. I mean, that's a guy to me that's obviously committed to Oklahoma. Because he's been there through a coaching change, right?
Right.
That kind of opened it back up and then went ahead and signed in the early period. So I think that the questions of what it's going to look like, how much of the portal is Venable. I mean, listen, that portal has been dead open coming on back. Now, you kind of had to with the guys you lost. You can't fill it all with high school kids because then you're going to have a team next year that's just not going to be as competitive as it needs to be. But so far, it looks like Venables isn't afraid of the transfer portal as far as bringing guys in. And he's also kind of back to, you know, look at a guy like Gavin Freeman. He's not coming to Oklahoma from Heritage Hall if Lincoln Riley's still the coach.
True.
He was committed to Texas Tech, but he wanted to be a Sooner so bad, and those communication lines opened up when Venables got the job and Lebby and whoever else was talking to him, that he's going to walk on at OU instead of taking a scholarship at Tech. Now, he is a guy whose dad played at OU, but and that's where he's always wanted to go, obviously. But opening those lines back up, I mean, can't you see Kanick being Teddy Lehman? I mean, just the look and the speed. And
speed
the,
and the size. Yes.
I mean, and that's and it's not a guy that, that's here without him, you know, and
yeah.
Maybe there's nothing that could have been done by the previous staff because it was a Venables only thing. And so OU gets the break there. The guy yesterday that that everybody has wanted to be at OU for years now, and he did stay, that's Gentry Williams. He is the guy. You know, he to me, he's the guy. He's going to be a secondary guy from Booker T. Booker T. Washington is not a place that Oklahoma's had very much success with. Throughout the years, those guys end up, I mean, Dax Hill, Justice Hill, down the list of Robert Meacham, clear back in the mid-90s. That hasn't been a school that's necessarily been a place that OU was able to go into and get guys. That maybe this opens that up and Venables can be the guy to kind of turn some of those around, you know, because there's Micah Tease is there next year. So there's talent that comes out of that school a ton.
Yeah.
Dakota on the text line is another topic we had. So looking ahead to 2023 and how this goes. I mean, the class is gone except for Joshua Bates is the lineman that's still there. Everybody else is gone. Obviously, they've got a quarterback since Riley left. But Lebbius Overton is a guy that we all were going to be looking forward to in the 2023 class.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning, he is – turned it into he is reclassified. So now he's a 2022 and he's going to take five visits. He's got a top five. It's A&M, Georgia, Bama, OU, and Ohio State. He's an OU legacy. And if Oklahoma can pull that one off to replace what they had with Dindy when he decommitted, just as it's exactly what Dakota's saying here on the text line, that would be a humongous coup. To get guys into that defensive line, and guys like Lebbius Overton, who is one of the top five players in the nation in the 2023 class, we'll have to see where he kind of shakes out in the 22 one now that he's reclassified to there.
So when will we know with him?
A couple months. It sounds like he's gonna take his official visits because he hasn't that hasn't been open to him yet.
Sure,
because he was in the other class.
Yep.
That's right. And so now that he's reclassified, he'll take his official visits. And then make a decision in the next month or two to where he's going to be obviously not going to be an early signee, an early enrollee into the 2022 class because he just now joined it. But he'll be a guy that gets wherever he goes in the summertime, goes through that, and then gets ready for next fall in the football season. Yeah, just a monster in the type of guys that, you know, Dindy was that guy that OU hadn't really been signing. You know, think about Ronnie Perkins. He's probably the last one that OU got that was that highly recruited, and what he was, you know, what he looked like on the field versus some other guys on the defensive line. That's what you're talking about.
Yep.
With a guy like Overton, and it'd be a massive statement if Oklahoma's able to do it. Now, 2023 is all going to be about one name.
Well, of course,
nationally,
yeah,
and it's Arch Manning. With the commitment of Arnold. Does that take, you know, the Lebby connection is obvious to the family, the Ole Miss, Lebby being down there, knowing the family. He's already visited Arch as the offense coordinator at Oklahoma. Is that something that's even a possibility? You see Texas, you see Georgia, obviously Tennessee and Ole Miss are there because of where his uncle and his dad went. I don't really think it's a realistic possibility, and I think you saw that. With Oklahoma accepting Jackson Arnold as the quarterback in that class.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I think out of respect, I wouldn't be shocked if Arch Manning shows up in Norman on an official visit just out of respect for between that he has for Lebby. But if and when that happens, I wouldn't go crazy.
But everybody will.
Everybody will.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think so. I think it's going to be one of the big boys in the SEC. I don't think – maybe Texas. We'll see if Sarkisian can get more success while he's there. If that doesn't happen, I think that they're kind of playing themselves out of the Arch Manning race on that one if they can't put some wins together. But I think the real players are in the SEC. I think Ole Miss is still a player. And I think the family connection is a big thing, too, with Ole Miss. I don't know about Tennessee. I don't know if they're going hard after him or not.
Oh, you know they are.
I think those are the ones that – it's a South family, right? It's a SEC family. I just think he stays there. But I do think he will show up in Norman just out of respect for Levy.
Yeah. You
know, there's a mutual respect there, and there's, you know, a friendship there. And Levy, he would be dumb not to try to – you know, test the waters here and go, hey, would you be interested in Norman? And, you know, we're coming to the SEC. You can blaze your own path just like, you know, other like Peyton did. You know, he didn't go to Ole Miss like his dad and obviously his brother after him. But I think he stays as one of the big, more tradition teams in the SEC, just like his family. But yeah. He will show up in Norman. He will.
If there's anybody outside of that Southeast or what we think of as this SEC – that has a real shot, I think it is Sarkisian in Texas. Mm-hmm. Now, what does Quinn Ewers being there, how does that hurt them? That'll remain to be seen.
Well, if they can't win more than four games a year, that hurts them too.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. They're going to have to show.
They have a history. It doesn't matter what coach it is. They've had a history of underdeveloping quarterbacks outside of Vince Young.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the truth.
It's just the truth. And they've tried over and over with the coaching changes and everything. It just for some reason or not, and I think we know why, it's the meddling with the boosters. They just cannot right the ship like they think they should be. And I think that does hurt, in this case, recruiting.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the biggest story in recruiting over the 2023 class. It's going to be Arch Manning and then, you know, filter out from there. Another big one that I know nobody's going to want to hear about. But we're sitting here next year, kind of wrapping up the 23 class. You know who's going to be a whole heck of a lot higher on that list than they were this year?
Oh, it'll be USC.
USC. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. USC is going to be one of those players. Well, just look at the class that Oklahoma had built before it disintegrated. It was by far the number one class early, granted, but by far the number one class. And those guys are not all of them so far, but a majority of those guys are already out there committed back to the Trojans. So Lincoln Riley and USC is going to be a force for sure in this upcoming class when they weren't really much of one this time outside of, you know, Ray Leek Brown joining forces with Riley out there. And, of course, their biggest recruit, obviously, of this class was Caleb Williams, getting him to transfer out there as well. So I'm interested to see the philosophy of Venables. Is it going to be scouring for a little bit more for the layman's and the, you know, Rocky was a pretty high recruit. But you know what I'm saying? More of those in-state guys that mm-hmm. haven't been coming to Oklahoma, quite honestly. Or is it still a national brand that that looks around and tries to figure it out?
Yeah, I think it's very telling when he showed up to the high school coaches meeting, he and his staff, they clearly want – inroads with Oklahoma schools. You mentioned Booker T. Washington. Man, I'd do everything I can.
Bixby.
To get to Bixby. I have a direct pipeline to Bixby.
Edmond Santa Fe. Guys that are coming out of those places that Oklahoma just hasn't been either interested in.
Mike Gundy's figured that out with schools we just mentioned. And that'd be just a lot of fun.
No,
when you get recruiting wars in state between OU and OSU. How fun would that? That makes Bedlam that much better if we get more of those games.
Oklahoma State's done a great job in the state of Oklahoma over the last couple of years getting the guys that used to just be locks to Oklahoma. And whether or not that's OU not paying attention and looking elsewhere or whatever that is, OSU's been really good in this state getting the guys that look like they can play at that level.
And I know it's a completely, completely different game. But what Bud Wilkinson did, you know what his pipeline was? Muskogee.
Yeah.
I mean, Darryl Royal's from Hollis.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of in-state guys.
Look at that last national title team from Oklahoma in 2000.
Yes.
There's Oklahomans littered all over the place.
Yes.
And maybe that's – I kind of laugh when you know, you read the boards or you hear people talking about, well, a three-star from Western Oklahoma will just play harder. Okay, but he's not as good. You know, but there is something about that, though.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clear with some of the guys that just – guys weren't necessarily here, and I don't even think Lincoln Riley was recruiting them to Oklahoma. He was recruiting them to Lincoln Riley. And I think that will be an obvious change in the philosophy just right off the top.
You're going to get
what
kids
Venables and those guys are going to do.
You're going to get, like you mentioned, Freeman.
Yeah, Gavin Freeman.
You're going to get him. He's going to come to OU as preferred walk-on because he wants to be at Oklahoma. I think that translates on the field as playing harder.
We'll see. But does playing harder mean you win a national title? I mean, there's a reason why the movie was made about Rudy, because it was one dude that made one play.
But there's some stuff we've seen those last couple seasons, like, man, can't tackle. We're not hustling. It's stuff like that.
And unfortunately, one of those guys, the biggest culprit, was from Tulsa Union. Wrapping it up on the text line, how good is – listen, USC isn't going to be any good this year.
Oh, no.
I know there was a lot of people, as soon as Williams made that announcement, you started seeing, oh, a dark horse for the playoff. Give me a break. They're 4-8, and they couldn't block nobody. But I think the real impact is not only getting him, but then also what's coming next in this next class. You know, as much as Riley leaving here hurt Oklahoma's early part of the signing period, he didn't have time to make any inroads, real inroads at USC. Now, they've hit the portal hard, and they've got some guys coming back out there for that. But it's a patchwork thing at best next year. But that's the path is so much easier than what it's going to be at Oklahoma, especially if the SEC thing happens sooner rather than later. I mean, that's just the truth. And I think you're starting to see this is becoming kind of a – what we suspected as far as the SEC and the reasons why, you know, Riley left, you're starting to see that out there. Pat Forty tweeted it just yesterday that he was upset, and that's one of the reasons why he left.
He's upset that the competition was about to get tougher?
That's correct. Hmm. Oh, O-lineman for 2023.
No, I don't know.
I don't think so yet. I think they just got those skill guys.
They got a lot of skill guys. Sound familiar?
Yeah, I think they're at the skill guy position. Here in just a second, I'll tell you. All right, what's on your mind? Well, I'll look this up. What's on Jared's mind?
I did not watch the Thunder game. You know what game I did watch?
Which one?
You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Actually, I'm going to give you a stat. You've probably seen this, so don't interrupt me. But this particular coach has started 18, and we're talking college basketball, has started 18-3. It's the best start for any coach in that school's history. Only coach in program history.
I know what it is.
Wins in the first season. Only coach in program history to beat Texas and Baylor in year one. And by the way, that coach beat Baylor again last night. It's OU women's coach. Help me with the last name. Jenny Baranchik?
Baranchik.
Yeah. What's going on there?
Well,
they swept Baylor.
It's the same people. It's the same players.
You're going where I'm going. It's the same players.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're looking like a top 10 team.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes
the
things
coaching change.
Sometimes
kind
things
of,
get stale, and you just need a kicking the tuchus.
Was the Cole retirement a forced retirement? Was it, hey, it's time to go out the pasture?
I think it was mutual.
Sherry just seeing, you know,
I think Sam's hit it on the head. She was tired and it was time for her to go.
And
they all agreed.
Yeah.
I think he's exactly right.
There's
no doubt that
I'm just gonna call her Coach Jenny because I can't say her last name.
Baranchik.
Coach of the year, national coach of the year. Or we got to wait and see how it all ends up.
Jared, I don't have any idea.
I'm just saying, keep an eye on OU women. They're currently tied for first place in the Big 12.
And unfortunately, you're the only one listening to the show that knows that.
We have almost 1,000 listeners a month on our podcast. I'm sure one or two.
You think one or two might know that?
Yes.
I'm not one of them that knows that.
They got a solid squad. They were down almost 10, 9, 9 after the first quarter. But then came back and won the thing at the end, 78-77 over Baylor, on the road at Baylor. And that was crazy how they got there.
How long has it been since they've swept Baylor, since you seem to have
all
the stats?
That's a great question. I don't know. I don't know. But so their day yesterday, their flight was canceled because of the weather out of OKC. So they'd had to take a bus to Waco.
Mm-hmm.
The game was delayed 45 minutes. They arrived at 7:15. They had about 45 minutes to tape up and warm up. And they go and they beat Baylor in their home gym, number 9th-ranked Baylor.
It would have been a lot more fun if they'd have beat Baylor twice last year.
Why is that?
Because what's her name still there?
Was that her last season, Melky?
Or was it 2 years ago?
It was 2 years ago. I think her first season at LSU was last year.
It was last year?
Yeah.
Okay, it'd have been a lot more fun if they'd have done this 3 years ago.
Yeah, I was never a fan of hers.
Do you think?
But it is fun. They beat Texas on Saturday?
Yeah.
Sunday? Saturday? Now they beat Baylor. Wonder
could
what's left
you,
on the schedule.
If it was okay for this to happen, if it was like a sanctioned event, not just seeing each other on the streets, if it was like a charity boxing match, could you beat up Kim Mulkey?
No. No. Are you kidding me? I'm a 38 overweight beer drinking guy that no. She'd beat me up.
I'm gonna agree with you. I'm gonna agree with you. She doesn't seem like one you'd want to tussle
no.
with.
No. Kidding me?
At any point. In any situation. Kim Mulkey. It's not as much fun without her here to listen to her gripe.
Oh, she griped at everything. But it is fun to see, and it's interesting, I think is more proper word. I was having this conversation with someone else. It's interesting to see how difference 1 year can make with a first-year head coach with practically the same players that were on the court last year. It's interesting. You think coaching matters?
I think it proves that things can go on too long.
Yeah.
And that could be a detriment.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think everybody knew it for the last 5 years, but out of respect for what Cherry Cole had done,
yeah, she,
only Traver would say it.
Yeah, they were about to cancel the program.
Stay safe out there.
Yep.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Wow.